police are investigating abuse hurled at the Conservative MP Anna Soubry outside Westminster. You might have seen some of this yourself if you watch the news channel or if you watch Sky News. And they do a lot of their reports from just outside the building. Ms. Soubry was accused of being a Nazi and a liar while being interviewed on the news channel. Have a listen to this.
Then we need to have proper votes as to what could be acceptable to Parliament. We need a positive vote against no deal. And in the event of an impasse, which I think there will be, get this matter back to the British people as soon as possible.
Well, at the moment, the feeling seems to be here that if there's an impasse, if there's a vote against, she will go away, she'll come back and say, let's have another vote because I've got perhaps another concession from the EU. This could go on for a while.
No, and that's why that's the other thing that has now got to happen, is we have to be absolutely... I do object to being called a Nazi, actually.
Right. Well, apologies if you're offended by what you're listening to.
I just think this is astonishing. This is what has happened to our country, actually. This is what's happened to our country. But anyway, let's try and move on and be positive about things.
Anna was later shouted at as she tried to re-enter Parliament, and our own Gareth Gordon was there and caught this audio.
Are you scared to answer the question, Anna? Are you scared to answer the claim to represent the people when your constituents voted to leave?
Anna, why do you call us ADL without any proof? We're not ADL, Anna. Anna, you're full of lies.
Well, Ms. Soubry says the police need to do their job. She's called on officers to prosecute the protesters under public order legislation for intimidating and threatening behaviour. Some say this is free speech and therefore people should be allowed to do what they want. What do you reckon? 0-30-30-80-55-55. With me this morning, Luke Kitos, the legal editor of Spiked Online. Good morning to you, Luke.
Good morning.
And Kevin Maguire, the associate editor of the Daily Mirror. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning.
It's quite difficult to listen to that, Kevin, and not feel intimidated for her. Anna Soubry is a very formidable character, but it must have been quite difficult to sit through.
No, absolutely, and I've seen them in action. There is this very small far-right group of extremists. We know they're far-right from the past associations of Solem, who are marauding around Westminster and pouncing upon anybody who they don't like. They've racially abused police officers, Sky News journalist. I was there when Laura Koonsberg, the BBC's political editor, I was just walking along the road chatting to her. They saw her and they swarmed around, and some of the vitriolic and misogynistic abuse. If anybody shouted that at a shopping centre, they would be arrested. And then I tried to reason with them and that got absolutely nowhere. They aren't interested in free speech. They're interested in their own hate speech. And my fear is, and I understand, there are lots of protests outside Parliament. A lot of them are very raucous. People can be very loud. Broadcasters may not like it when they stick banners in the background in cameras. Well, tough. But this is a different nature with this group, and I fear it will escalate into violence. In fact, one of the ringleaders of the group who went for Anna Soubry, he's being filmed screaming at police, saying they're fair game. If they want a war, they will get one.
Why do you think the police, and for example, what happened to Anna Soubry, why are the police not acting?
Well, I think it is because of this question of how far free speech goes and your right to criticise politicians. And Anna Soubry, Conservative MP, pro-Remain, she engages in pretty robust debate herself, and it is very difficult to draw the line. But I do wonder, watching it and having experienced it, whether they have crossed a line. And there are public order offences when people feel intimidated. I go back, if I was in a shopping centre and I started hurling abuse and behaving like this group, I would expect to be lifted. My collar felt. I would expect to be arrested. Now, maybe that's what they want because they Facebook Live what they do to appeal to other supporters. They make appeals for funding. So maybe they want some notoriety. I think the police have a difficult job, unquestionably, here. But it's escalating with this group. Lots of other pro-Brexit campaigners, anti-Brexit campaigners around Westminster. making a noise, making their presence felt, but they're not threatening in the way this far-right group is.
Is there concerns then, maybe within the police, that if they do arrest people involved, it may boost their profile, it may benefit those involved as a result?
They may be making those considerations. I know some politicians think the same. It needs to be handled in some ways sensitively, unquestionably. But it is escalating, and it's interesting. The group were on a leave means leave Twitter feed. They posted before Christmas footage of them blocking the road over Westminster Bridge and stopping an ambulance with its blue light flashing, which I thought was a rather extraordinary. If your protest had made that happen, you might be embarrassed and that wouldn't be your intention. But they seem to be boasting and bragging about it.
Okay. All right. Look, Kitos, where is that free speech line? It's very difficult sometimes to define, but for some in this instance, it seems obvious.
Well, it is difficult to define, but I think we need to focus on what's actually being called for here, which is a group of MPs seriously arguing that protesters outside Westminster who have not done anything violent, have not threatened violence, have not even insinuated violence towards any one individual, should be rounded up and arrested on public order grounds. We need to be clear that, yes, it's difficult to draw hard and fast lines, but the presumption must always be in favour of free expression and free speech. Now, it may be that these people don't care about that freedom, but we have to extend the freedom to those who might not care about it, or even those who would seek to deny it to others. Now, the other thing that I find remarkable about all this is the complete double standards at play. We know, for example, that leaders of the Brexit movement faced comparable abuse in the lead-up to the referendum and faced threats on their life since. We've heard from Nigel Farage having threats against his family, other leading members of the Brexit campaign facing intimidation in the streets. This is part and parcel of politics, I'm afraid. And it's only now that the ire has turned on those who are seeking to overturn the biggest democratic mandate in British history that suddenly MPs are up in arms about it. I think the double standards are astonishing. This group is not a serious threat. It hasn't posed any serious threat. They're a group of individuals who are robustly expressing their opinions to those who are purporting to represent them. And I think it's an extremely dangerous precedent for MPs now that the commentary has turned against them, to turn around and start calling for the police to get involved. I think the analogy to shouting in a supermarket is not the correct one. What we need to think about is whether we would seriously want the shoe to be on the other foot and a group of left-wing demonstrators to be shouting, for example, at Jacob Rees-Mogg and his family that we saw just a few weeks ago. Do we seriously suggest that the police should hoover all those demonstrators up and lock them away under public order grounds? Because if you want to be consistent in your application of the law, then that is what you're going to be calling for. We need to take a step back from this and realise that these calls for action, these calls to get the police involved, have very serious consequences.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Would your interpretation or your viewpoint be any different, Luke, if it was not MPs? Because some people believe that MPs can't be perceived as being fair game because of the position that they have taken up. But if that was a normal member of the public that was on one of those news platforms outside Westminster on BBC News or Sky News and they were being targeted like that, would your response be any different?
When you step into the public realm, as I have, you know, I have done and my colleagues have done, and write articles and express your opinion in robust ways, you expect blowback. You expect people who disagree with you to disagree with you robustly. You will get this kind of what I call, you know, what has been called intimidation if you go and argue on a university campus, if you go and argue in most town halls up and down the country and people disagree with you. You may well experience behaviour which borders on intimidation, but that is part and parcel of an engagement with public life. And frankly, I think for protesters and MPs, people who are well-heeled, well-established, well-protected by the police, lest we forget that Anna Soubry was escorted by two police officers while these individuals were surrounding her yesterday. It's not like she was on her own. People experience this kind of behaviour all the time when they're engaged in public life and when they disagree with the majority opinion.
Well, Kevin, there you go. You've heard from Luke, it's double standards.
Yeah, the soft soap and the apologies there. I think you'd recall that actually a lot of the intimidation of Nigel Farage has been absolutely condemned, as was the protest outside the house of Jacob Rees-Mogg. Let's not forget that it's only 2.5 years ago since an MP, a Labour MP, was assassinated, Joe Cox, by a neo-Nazi far-right fanatic. So the threat is real here. Robust debate is fine, tackling your MP is fine, even shouting at your MP is fine. But having been down there, having seen it happen, what happened to Laura Koonsberg, and I was there, it is intimidation and it is violently threatening. It isn't just people engaging loudly, raucously in free speech. This is intended to intimidate and threaten. And the racial abuse of activists and of police officers, who I'm surprised in some ways haven't arrested anybody yet for that, it shows that this mob is just filled by hate. They're not there to engage or make an argument. There are loads of people around Westminster from all sorts of camps engaging noisily, colourfully, intelligently, passionately. But this mob is marauding round. They know what they're doing. They're doing it absolutely deliberately. They know their rights, or they think they know their rights and how far they can push it. But I would have thought, looking at Section 5 Public Order Act, offences are being committed now daily by them.
Well, surely, Luke, if there are offences being committed, then that's black and white.
Well, look, the law is drawn incredibly broadly, which gives the police enormous power. You know, you can be arrested for any behaviour which the person you are targeting experiences intimidating, and that can account for all sorts of circumstances. So the problem with the Public Order Act is it gives huge power to the police to decide what is legitimate and illegitimate. But I think it's really important to pick up on this, because this point about Thomas Mayer, because I think he is in the background of all of this, the assassin of Joe Cox, the tragic murder of Joe Cox in the lead-up to the referendum, because I think, really, he is in the background here. The reason why this group is being targeted in this way is that these MPs and these journalists believe that in amongst them is another Thomas Mayer, another threatening, violent individual. And there's just no evidence of that. Really, okay. This is born out of their prejudice about a particular side of the argument, that really they believe that there are Thomas Mayers up and down the country just waiting for the excuse to kill another MP.
Okay, let's go to the phones on this. Sorry to talk over you, Luke. I'm just conscious of time. Jim in Belfast. Go ahead, Jim.
Vinny. I always assume, now maybe I'm wrong, that in law, a gathering of four people or more constitutes a crowd, which the police can move on at any given time.
Well, Luke, you'll know the ins and outs of that.
Sorry?
Well, that's not strictly true. The police don't just have blanket power to move on any group of four or more people.
But do you know the one thing that the people who are causing this seem to forget? Whatever happens in London at 11 o'clock or any time during the day, within a matter of minutes, the whole world knows about it. Now, it's not a very, very good picture to be painting for people to come and visit the country. If they want to go to the Houses of Parliament, they have a chance of being involved in a scrum outside it.
I'm not sure, Jim, if tourism is what the people that are protesting have in mind. You know, they're trying to put across their point and how they feel, and they see that as a platform because...
You know, Vinny, to be quite honest with you, I've heard an awful lot about Brexit, and I'm old enough to remember joining it and the reasons why we joined. But you know something? I think the turning point was whenever they brought out the law that people could travel from one country to another country and not be stopped. If we hadn't had that, I don't think we would have wanted to leave, to be quite honest with you. But it's whenever another country dictates to one other country, you're going to take people whether you like it or not. I think that's the crux of the matter. So it is. Nobody thought about it. If you extend the argument, saying to people who are on, say, £50 a week, if you go to England, you'll get £600 a week.
I know. It's a slightly different discussion than what we're having this
morning,
Jim.
I know, but it all comes into... It's all... You can bind it up in the one argument. That's one of the reasons why people have got on edge, if you like.
OK. Well, let's try and stay on point. Jim, thank you. William in Belfast. Go ahead, William.
Vinny, I want to ask, why now are we talking about this? Right? Nigel Farage has said 20 years of that window. George Galloway was beaten up. He's a left winger, by the way. He was beaten up outside. We know what's happened to Jacob Rees' family. the shadow chancellor wanted Esther McVeigh hung. Kevin Maguire's sitting there like an angel. Why does he not turn around and focus in what the shadow chancellor said when he's a supporter of that party? The whole thing is one-eyed as usual. Can't use the two eyes on thing. I'm against any intimidation. And by the way, he used to drive out of the car park and blew up with the IRA dead. So that Mr. Maguire turned around and used...
And just to clarify, William, because I couldn't quite hear your line there, was breaking up a bit, but the Shadow Chancellor did not want anyone hung. Let's just...
Oh, he didn't.
No. Well recorded. Let's just stay on point for this. William, thank you. Michael, go ahead, Michael. Good morning to you.
Hello, Vinny. Vinny, I think this is just complete hypocrisy here. If you watch the news any day of the week, you see MPs screaming at each other across the chamber, calling each other all sorts of names, day in, day out.
I've never seen them calling each other Nazis.
Well, you know, they're calling each other quite unsavory things, and and these people are the leaders and the politicians of the country, and what sort of example does that set? And then, you know, and then we see people who are passionate up and riled about Brexit and feel that Brexit's been betrayed. They said terrible things to Anna Soubry, but it's complete hypocrisy. Anna Soubry says MPs should have police escorting them into the Houses of Parliament because they feel intimidated. What about the Tory cuts? What about the people of London who feel intimidated because of over 130 stabbings and shootings on streets of London in 2018? I dare say the citizens of London feel intimidated and fearful of walking the streets. Will they have police protection after Tory cuts slashed thousands of police officers?
Okay, it's a fair point, Michael. There's another way to look at this, Kevin Maguire, which is why do the broadcasters, including the BBC, insist on broadcasting from there? This has been going on. I'm sure it's happened many times in the past. Before Christmas, we would have the news channel on in our office constantly, and it's like a small panto going on behind whoever is standing on that platform.
Oh, it's a circus. No, I have a huge sympathy with a caller who says, look, 21,000 police officers have gone and people are less safe as a result. I still don't want politicians to be targeted and abused in this way. I think broadcasters go outside because they want to be nearer the action. Now, of course, they don't have to, but do we really want a far-right, snarling, intimidatory mob to drive broadcasters, politicians, members of the public, whoever else they interview? I sometimes get interviewed myself, to be driven indoors, behind security, behind armed guards, because you cannot go outside Parliament because this small group of people are going around trying to scream everybody down.
I just wonder if that group would be there if the broadcasters were not there. Like, I've noticed that BBC platform seems to get higher every time I look at it, and you see it on TV, and I assume they're trying to get more elevation to drown out the sound. But if they weren't there, the protesters probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, they're trying to get higher, so they can't get their banners in the pictures. But what the smart protesters have done, they use longer poles, so they still their banners still appear, whichever argument they're making in the pictures. But do you really want to drive journalism behind security? I don't think you do. I think we want as free and open public engagement and debate as we can. And I don't think you could ever ban somebody calling someone else a Nazi and make it a criminal offence. Yes, it's probably a civil offence. So I would have thought it's certainly defamatory, although actually prosecuting the people who are chanting it is impossible. In a way, it's not that part that alarms me. It's the way the mob, the snarling mob, surrounds people and abuses them and deliberately attempts to intimidate them. I think that is just unacceptable. Whether it was happening, somebody going to church or a politician coming out of Parliament, going over the green to be interviewed, it would be wrong.
Well, look, Kitos, in terms of the specific language they were using, the likes of calling someone a Nazi, whoever that might be, if you met those protesters yourself, would you ask them to refrain from that? To obviously, they can protest as much as they want, but language
I have sympathy for the caller who said, if you're worried about being called a Nazi, then try advocating for Brexit in public. It's not long before you get called a Nazi or far right or an extremist for calling for a no-deal Brexit. So the language on both sides of the debate has been extremely degraded, and I hate the use of the word Nazi, but I hate the use of the word whenever it's used, because it vacates it of all meaning. So I would say to those protesters, look, use your enthusiasm to engage people rather than what you appear to be doing, which I agree, it seems to be more geared towards shouting people down than engaging in serious debate. And I do think there is a fine line. There would be an issue if they were, for example, attempting to prevent people from going about their ordinary business by standing in their way or physically preventing them from going somewhere. But that's not quite what's happening. The terms used are extremely robust. The approach is extremely vociferous. But I would be very, very worried at drawing the line of police intervention.
Yeah, but you have to admit yourself, Luke, that following someone, whoever it might be, down the street and shouting and screaming things at them is not particularly pleasant.
No, it's not particularly pleasant, but politics isn't always pleasant. And as I said before, those of us who choose to engage with it accept that it comes with certain consequences. And I think anyone who's involved in public life will have experienced something similar.
Certain consequences, because you want to represent people in your community. That then, therefore, you're saying leaves you open. You should accept that people might call you Nazis on the street.
I think you have to accept that there is a degree of rough and tumble with an engagement in public life. And all of us, I think if Anna Soubry and the others who have been subject to this are honest, they accept that as part of their role, and they accept that this is an everyday part of what they do. I mean, those of us on the other side of the debate, those of us who have argued for Brexit, who support a no-deal Brexit, have accepted that those who disagree with us might use strong language and be aggressive. The point that the double standards here are ludicrous, and the calls to get the police involved is a completely insane overreaction.
Okay, Bill in Belfast, last call on this before we go to the news. Bill, go ahead.
Good morning, Vinny. Just listen to your show here, and come to reality, they're talking about intimidation and threats. I mean, I remember Ari Neave being killed when he came out of the House of Commons with a car bomb. We had Robert Bradford shot dead here. We had MPs traveling in armoured cars. I mean, that was real threats. That was real intimidation. We get a few abusive words thrown at us, and it's great. It's a crisis. You know, it's an old saying, you can't stick the heat in the kitchen, you should get out. One of the callers said, it comes with a job sometimes.
All right, Bill, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much, Bill. Thanks to Luke Kitos and to Kevin Maguire as well.